This is a recording made at the funeral of Brother Austin Sparks on the 19th of April, 1971. We apologize for the noise on the tape. After the service, the recorder was taken to the graveside. We are sorry that the tape ran out just before the end of the prayer. This was followed with the singing of the chorus, "Living, He Loved Me."
speaks to God, who always leads us in time in Christ. Shall we look up to our triumphant Lord and read from the first chapter of the book of the Revelation? John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, after him that loveth us, and loosed us from our sins by his blood, and he made us to be a kingdom, priests unto his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him. Even so. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, saith the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partaker with you in the tribulation and kingdom and patience which are in Jesus, was in the isle which is called Patmos, for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, What seest thou? What thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like unto a son of man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the breast with a golden girdle, and his head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto burnished brass, as it had been refined in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one, and I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ.
Thank you.
who you are when you express here at this time to our dear sister and her daughters, sons-in-law, daughter-in-law, grandchildren. Our great appreciation and thanks to God for our brother Mr. Holstein's father and for the long life of fruitful ministry which he had by the grace of God. It is some 47 years since I first met and heard him speak. It was in an Overcomer meeting in Eccleston Hall, and while I am not able to repeat to you the whole of the message, I can assure you, characteristically, it was one stressing the battle and the conflict of the Christian life, beginning with the verse which I now read from 2 Peter chapter 1, that the victory to be expressed in an entrance being ministered abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is for those who have obtained and made use of those exceeding great and precious promises. I think he would have been surprised to know that he had to wait 47 years for his abundant entrance. I know that he never reckoned to go much beyond 50, but the Lord is always so much better than what we think. And so by the infinite grace of God, he came up to April the 13th of this year, and then the moment for his abundant entry. We thank God that we know where he is, and we know that we're going to see him again. Now, Brother Sparks was not a writer. You may be surprised to hear that, but he wasn't. He had many books under his name, and for very many years the magazine went out. But they were all an expression of his gift as a preacher. And those messages came hot from his heart, from his experience, his prayer, his travel. And if you run your eyes down the list of the books, which you may easily do, if you wish to, I think you will have an excellent idea of the driving force, the overwhelming heart and vision of the brother whose body today we shall lay to rest. I think first on that list I would put one of the very old ones, the centrality and the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Almost here I can think I can hear it say it. Christ as Lord. In his early teens, he yielded to the Lordship of Christ. But there came later on, as he was in the ministry of the Word of God, a time when life was such a problem and had come to such a pass that he felt he needed something altogether new. And he got it. You always get it if you're in earnest enough with God. And what he got was an altogether new revelation of the greatness and the glory of Jesus Christ. That Christ is indeed central, not only to the individual believer's life, not only to the church, but to the whole universe. This then became his great theme, the centrality of Christ. This had captured his heart. This was his purpose, to see more of Christ and to make that Christ known to others that they might see more of him. I'm sure that there are many of us here in this hall who could point back to some particular occasion, a meeting, a conference, got them all together. Trying to decide what it was, we find it would be the same Christ. I found a new Christ. I had a fuller heart knowledge of Christ. So that's the first thing that we must say to the glory of God. Christ, central and supreme. The world would not consider. Brother Spark says, nice to have been a success. I'm not sure that many in the Christian world would consider it to have been a success. I feel fairly sure that he himself did not feel it had been a success. But if it is success, spiritual success, achievement, to have been able to communicate something more of the wonder and the glory and the power and the purpose of Christ, then there's hardly a person here in this room today who will not stand up and attest to the fact that his life was a success. That's what he set out to do. And we give glory to God for the measure in which we ourselves have entered into that blessing. But we must remember, occasionally, to try to persuade him that there are a great number with whom there is no outward contact. Some who would know the name, some who might not even do that. A great number of people scattered in this world who will be found when the eternal reckonings are made in the day of our Lord Jesus. But through speaking, through the writing, through the labors, through the suffering, of brother's thoughts, they have come into a new and deeper knowledge of Christ. None of us could wish for any more than that. Would God that it might be true in our measure of each one of us here. But I must remind you of the next one, very similar to it. I'm not sure that it's even in print now, but it's very important, the centrality of the cross. That's right, brother, you say. That's right. The cross. Everything is by the cross. And how wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus, by the blood of his cross, has provided for our every need. Those many years ago, we used to sing from Alexander the Great. Every now and again, there was a favorite hymn. When I first came into this place, the favorite hymn was, "Nor silver nor gold has obtained my redemption. The blood of this cross is my only foundation." How we used to sing. How we must keep on singing. But that's the song he's singing now, and the song we shall sing through all eternity. From that gratitude, the power of the blood of Christ, to give forgiveness, to give life, to give victory. He never slept through all his years, never for one moment did he move from this ground. Everything that God has to give us through Christ comes by the will of Christ. I would like to recall in our little smaller family meetings here on the Lord's Day, I'm fairly sure that I'm right in saying the very last public utterance we heard from Brother Scott was when the brother leaving the Lord's table, having given an invitation to somebody, any brother, to give thanks for the loaf that some brother, I don't know, he then said, "Will a brother give thanks for the cup?" And their brother's father, spontaneous, not as the preacher, not even as the elder, but as the fellow believer, yes, the fellow sinner, let us, in thanks, giving to God for the blood of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let no one, in presence of this meeting, without being reminded, the that there is no other God or satisfaction or love than God. No other place where they can be discovered than at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today would be a wonderful, crowning day if someone found Christ as their Savior, as our brother is taken farewell in this day. Next, in touch with the throne, I must speak of this matter of prayer. For this surely was one of the great matters which held and gripped our brother from first to last. The importance, the value, the possibilities that had come by prayer in the name of Jesus. He not only talked about it, but he practiced it. To the last, when he was lying, not much in touch with this world, we weren't quite sure how conscious, if at all. I can testify to the fact that I never prayed without seeing those lips move in an amen. In a world which has become increasingly unreal, prayer was one of the most real things. He was grateful to be remembered in prayer, as he certainly was. But he also prayed. And much that has happened through the earth, through him, through others, associated and attributed to him, or not. Doesn't matter. Wouldn't matter. Much of it is really the fruit of his prayer. Many of us here have reason to thank God for answered prayer in our needs and circumstances. He prayed for some, and those prayers perhaps have not yet been answered. They will be. His lips may be silent, but the throne is still there, and he was in touch with the throne. And we look for the full answer all those prayers given to our Lord on his throne of grace, sometimes with much difficulty. For one of the great points which our brother was led to stress and gifting to explain was that there's a warfare, a prayer warfare, but always with the word warfare, we associate the word victory, for in his name there is victory. Now, one more, the power of his resurrection. Sometimes, when Christians die, it is said of them concerning the date on which they died, so and so, entered into life. If I said that Brother Scott entered into life on April the 13th, 1970, even when I've got that empty, never would say, no, brother, I always took a resurrection life right here. I do resurrection life. When first I came to the risen Savior, I proved resurrection life through many deaths. And it's true, we never were quite sure whether our brother would have been back again, even to the last, because through the earth we've had so many surprises. Not to his credit, but to the credit of his risen Lord. Through many a death, he came to many an experience of new life, the power of his resurrection. And may I say, to the glory of God, that I firmly believe that 1970 was a peak year for Brother Scott. Certainly, those who were in Switzerland at the Hildebrandt Conference all testified that this was the best of all. just like the Lord, to give him the thanks. It was a year of opportunity and of ministry. And we praise God for the wonderful way in which he was able to be there. The powerful window, I was hardly up about 4 to 7 one morning, and there was he all fully dressed, seeing somebody off. And apart, I wondered whether it was he who was there, he or I. And so the Lord sustained our brother for the contact, for the fellowship, and for the ministry of that happy time. It's good to finish up with a note of real strength. But that's what we would expect, did we not? One who had such implicit confidence in the power of his resurrection. Christ, our life. Christ is his life. Was his life. Is his life. Which brings me to the last few weeks, which were not always easy, and we give glory to God for many mercies through those difficult days. And some of us wonder, perhaps, and I think he did, why he lingered so long. I'm not sure that I know why, but I know where he went. See, we've always had big new departures and special times of God's blessing at Easter time in this place. Through the year, Easter has always been a special time. And many a time, on the last meeting of the Easter conference, Easter Monday, we gathered around the Lord's table. Brother Sparks could give a good long message when he wanted to, but on those occasions he was always preaching. And the programs always finished up on the great note of the coming of the Lord. Don't you remember how heaven came down? Glory filled our souls as we sang so heartily, blessed hope, blessed hope, blessed hope of the coming of the Lord. It's just as though he waited for that from 6 o'clock the next morning. Well, whether that be so or not, we praise God that though there is much that we do not know about this present phase of his life, we do know that he did enjoy the satisfying presence of the Lord and a well-deserved rest. And we do know also that soon, we believe very soon will come the day of reunion. Blessed hope. A word from the one to all our hearts and ears. A parting word to make him I the dearest. Of all his precious words, the sweetest, brightest, clearest. In the hope of the coming glory. So, as we're going to lay to rest the body of our dead brother, our thoughts are not to the past, though there are some sweet thoughts in the past, but to the future and to the great day of reunion. I seem to hear a voice, not his, we shall never hear that in this hall again, but the voice of his Lord, coming down to us here at this moment and saying, behold, I come quickly. Will you say with me, even so, come, Lord Jesus? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We thank thee once again for our God, for these great realities which our brother so believed, so affirmed, so fought for, and so valiantly proclaimed. the supremacy, the centrality of Jesus Christ. The centrality, the universality of the cross of Christ. The blessed power of prayer in touch with the throne. The wonderful reality of the power of His resurrection and the blessed hope of the coming of the Lord. I'll ask Him, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works Thy hands have made, then sickens my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How shall we stand? of his glory with exceeding joy. For the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever.
Say, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord.
The memorial service for our brother Austin Sparks was held on Saturday the 1st of May, and a large number of people from throughout Great Britain and the continent were present.